Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let everyone at APC praise the Lord. Side to side, front to back, lift your voice, wave an arm, glorify. With all creation, we sing praise to the King of Kings. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a blessing, what a privilege to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're a guest today, that's precisely what you're feeling. Our hearts are overflowing with worship. Jesus is responding to the praise that's offered in this place, and that's why there is such a warm, inviting presence in this house. If you are thankful for it, would you offer your thanksgiving to Jesus? Come on, nobody can do it like you can. Your personal thanks. Hallelujah. 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 Amen and amen. Praise God. What a delight to be worshiping on this Palm Sunday. And I do apologize for the weather. It's not really my fault, but I still apologize for it. But it's so good to see all of you here in God's house. And I do take a moment to welcome our guest, as has already been done, to acknowledge that you're here. Thank you for that. I see a lot of different folks through the building. And I wanted to explain both to the church family and our guest that our pastor and his wife are absent today due to ministering in a church in Columbia, Missouri. They were asked by that pastor to do a leadership retreat yesterday and then asked them to stay over. But they are coming back this afternoon and will be here for the aforementioned concert of praise under the capable direction of our music director, Christy Scott. We're looking forward to a great time celebrating in song. And as I say, pastor and his wife will be back for that. I'm going to read while you're yet standing from Psalms, the 98th one. Psalms 98, beginning at verse 1. It's so good to, along with our guest, to see Leslie here today. She's off work, and the Protsmans are here on their anniversary. Alex has been married to Marlene for 7 years. He's on my prayer list. No, I'm kidding. We'll congratulate them. And then where is Allison? She disappeared. She had a birthday yesterday. There she goes, walking away from me. Story of my life. No. Oh, there she is. Allison, can I tell them how old you are? You're young enough, right? 18, so she can vote now. We're excited. So you always have to ask a woman, right? You can't get, there'll be a day when I won't be able to do that, right, Allison? Psalm, what am I doing? Psalm 98, verse 1. I feel the Lord's presence, and sometimes I get sidetracked. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. Anybody agree with that? His right hand and his holy arm have gained him the victory. The Lord has made known his salvation. His righteousness he has revealed in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his mercy and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. I might insert that to all of God's people. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Verse 4, shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth in song, rejoice, and sing praises. And as a companion verse from the New Testament, Paul writes in Ephesians 5:18, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation. The King James says, wherein is excess. I'll admit to you, I had to look up the word dissipation. I should have had Allison do that for me. She's my word definer. But it means degeneracy, immorality, or, in effect, sin. So don't be drunk with wine, but here's what we should do. Be filled with the Spirit. And verse 19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And for a little bit today, I want to preach this message, Songs of Victory. Songs of Victory. And I pray the Lord, as any minister does, will use this message, in this case, to inspire you, to encourage you with thoughts of victory, and also that you might be incited to offer your praise and your thanksgiving. And I say that specifically because nobody can offer your praise for you. We can worship with one another, but we can't worship for one another, can we? If God's going to get your praise, it's because you gave it to him. If God's going to get your thanks on this Sunday morning, it's because you made the choice to voice it, to express it today. At that triumphal entry of Christ, people were offering their individual praise to him. Some people chose not to, but some people did. They offered their individual praise, and so I trust that we can do that here today. We'll offer it individually, but it'll be all together. And before you're seated, would you lift your voice in praise? And if you want to clap hands or wave an arm, do whatever. This is an opportunity just to say one more time, Lord, we invite your presence to continue touching us and helping us this day. In the name of Jesus, amen. You may be seated. What a glorious atmosphere we are in. Along with being inspired or encouraged with victory and worship, some of you might be educated just a little bit. I know it's from a distance, but anybody remember this book here in red? It has the title Pentecostal Praises on it. We got some old schools. Who knows what page 29 is? Oh, my. I'm disappointed in you. All in him. Page 29 in the Pentecostal prayer. And by the way, as I remember as a kid, we used to alternate with a green-covered book. And I can't remember the name of that. I kind of collect songbooks. So if anybody has one, I will buy it from you, okay? Not for $1 million. You got one, Leslie? Seriously? Oh, but it's probably not extra, is it? Okay, well, maybe you can put it in your will for me. But wait, I'm going to go first. Oh. But I really, seriously, I'd love to get my hands on one because I don't know why we did that. I guess for variety, we'd alternate from green to the maroon. Pentecostal praises. Anybody know page one? Oh, my word. This world is not my home. All right. Well, how about this one? Anybody remember this one? There we go. Sing unto the Lord. A new song. And anybody know page two? Ah, there we go. Page 33. Joy and spirit. Very good. I got you on this one, though. Page 80. You got it. Who said that? Oh. Ushers, take Kelly out of here. That is low. How did you get one of these? She's weird. I'm kidding. All right, you stole my thunder, but I'll give you a Snickers bar or something after church. Eugene Bartlett was an author and a composer, and he was born in Missouri, as a matter of fact. He established the Hartford Music Company in Arkansas and taught singing schools through the late early 1900s. And on page 116, don't say it out loud, of this Sing Unto the Lord book, he wrote a song, this was way back in 1939, just a couple of years before he passed away, entitled Victory in Jesus. And it literally is a song of victory. It celebrates the redemption that we have in Jesus Christ. One verse, in fact, the opening one says, I heard an old, old story about a Savior came from glory, or how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. And if I may say so, out of all the victories that you and I will be blessed to experience in life, there's nothing, nothing like the victory over sin through Jesus Christ. That's the greatest victory that we could possibly experience, is to know victory over sin through Jesus Christ. When Israel was in captivity as a nation or as a people for some 400 years, so obviously generation after generation lived and died in Egyptian captivity, it ended when God sent a deliverer to lead them out of Egypt. And when Moses and Israel miraculously left Egypt and crossed the Red Sea, Bible says that God parted the sea and there were walls of water on each side. They crossed on dry ground. And when the Egyptians attempted to follow them, God collapsed those walls of water and the Egyptians were drowned in the sea. Exodus 15:1 tells us that then, after that victory, Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord and spoke, saying, I will sing unto the Lord. For he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea. Israel saw upon the shoreline the dead Egyptians, those who had held them in captivity, the taskmasters, those who had been so cruel and mean to them. And that bondage is an analogy today of being born captive to a sinful nature. But I'm happy to preach today that God has sent a deliverer to us in the person of Jesus Christ. And he will bring believers, just like Moses did for Israel, he'll bring believers out of their sin. It's possible, it's still happening because of Jesus Christ. The chorus of that song says, "Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere or before I knew him. And all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood." I'm glad to have victory in Jesus Christ today. That blood sets us free and delivers us and makes us new. And if you don't mind a little personal reference, that song of victory has a special meaning for me. It was February 6th in 1977 that I attended a Sunday night church service. My pastor preached a message entitled, "Never a Man Spake Like This Man," referring to Jesus Christ. I went to an altar. I was not living for God, but I went to an altar and repented, asking God's forgiveness. And he marvelously filled me with his spirit that night. And along about midnight, there were a handful of us that were still in the church house worshiping. And somebody started up this chorus, "Victory in Jesus." And they got me on my feet, and I was marching around with a bunch of others around the sanctuary. And in fact, there's a picture. I couldn't find it on short notice, but there's a picture of me rounding one corner. It probably was the lighting of photography, but maybe not. But there was a glow on my face as I was celebrating the victory that I have in Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, it's a joy to know Jesus Christ. It's freedom and liberty. Once you've been delivered from sin, you've got a song of victory in your heart. It may not be this specific one, but you know what I'm talking about. You've got your song. You've got your song of victory and celebration and praise to God. Through a new birth, Jesus said we've got to be born of water and born of spirit to enter the kingdom of God. And we do that, but we must remember it's a spiritual kingdom. Romans 14:17 says that the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. So it's not material. It's not any physical or actual kingdom set up by a government. But the kingdom of God is, note that there, righteousness and peace and joy. Where? In the Holy Ghost. God's Spirit. And that verse forms the basis of my message today, Songs of Victory. And the righteousness that we have noted there is through Jesus Christ. Paul wrote to the Philippian church, we're found in him not having our own righteousness, but we have the righteousness which is through faith in Jesus, the righteousness which is from God by faith. That's where we get it. Robert Lowry was a Philadelphia-born author and a composer, also a popular in that day Baptist minister and educator. He became known for gospel songs while he was ministering in Brooklyn. And I think this is pretty significant. In 1876, he wrote a song. In fact, it's still being used today. I think a group from Australia has worked it, maybe reworked it a little bit and sung it. And Matt Redman, I think he's a contemporary artist, has used it. But he wrote in 1876, "Nothing But the Blood." And the one verse succinctly and scripturally states, "Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Naught of good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus." And that is a true message yet today. Jesus is the only means of salvation. We can't earn our salvation. I'm sorry, but be as kind as you want, do as many good deeds as you want. It's not going to earn you your salvation. You can't buy your salvation. Education won't save you. Medicine won't save you. A family heritage won't save you. The only salvation you can find is in Jesus Christ. He said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father except by me." Another verse of that song claims, "For my pardon, this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus." Isaiah prophesied the meaning of the Messiah's death. He said he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. John said that Jesus is the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. I'm preaching today that Jesus offered his own blood. In the Old Testament, there was animal blood that was required. God knew that animals weren't guilty of sin, and so he accepted their blood for a period of time to atone for man's sin. But Jesus' offering was so perfect and so complete, it did away with the need for animal sacrifices. And Jesus offered himself, hear this, once and for all, as the supreme sacrifice for sin. Now all we have to do is put our faith in what he did. He paid the penalty of death for sin. He offered his innocent blood on our behalf. He died that we might live. Oh, and if you've experienced through faith the atoning blood of Jesus Christ, you've got a song of victory today. In the words of another song, that blood will never lose its power. It's effective. It's always going to do the job. It's never going out of style. I read an article about this song, Nothing But the Blood, and I love one phrase. It said it has a single theme and hammers it home. A single theme that hammers it home. And the article, Lowry, it notes, adapted a call response pattern. And he begins with a question, what can wash away my sins? And the answer is very definitive and resounding, nothing but the blood of Jesus. I wonder if we could try that a moment here. What can wash away my sin? Yeah, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And it's followed by a second question, what can make me whole again? That article went on to say that this call response pattern, along with the rhythms of the music, gives the effect of cheerleading. And I read that, and it kind of jumped out to me, and I thought, you know, some people might think cheerleading is a little unsuitable for church. They might think that it's just inappropriate, you know, somebody up there kind of getting us all riled up, as it were. But I'll just say this, if there's anything worth leading a cheer about, I would say it's the blood of Jesus Christ. So pardon me a moment, but what can wash away my sin? Oh, what can make me whole again? Oh, yes, that's the blood of Christ Jesus. This is all my hope and peace. Amen. This is all my righteousness. Yes, amen. Oh, precious is the flow. And I want to hear you today. It is a precious blood. Peter wrote that we are not redeemed by corruptible things as of silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow, and no other fount I know. What? Oh, say it, nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. Paul said, I thank God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The preaching of the cross is foolishness to them who do not believe, but unto us who are saved, it is the power of God. Oh, I'm glad for the blood of Jesus Christ today. Would you be willing to offer your praise about it? Would you be willing to offer your thanksgiving? Thank God for the blood. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for the blood that washes white as snow. Hallelujah. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad for righteousness in this kingdom. And not only do we have that in the spiritual kingdom, but we also have peace. It's part of our song of victory. Elisha A. Hoffman, who was an ordained minister and gospel songwriter, wrote over, catch this, 2,000 gospel songs. Prolific. And in 1902, I know we're going back a ways, and no, I wasn't alive, young people. He wrote this song, It Is Mine. And the verse starts out, God's abiding peace is in my soul today. Yes, I feel it now. Yes, I feel it now. He has taken all my doubts and fears away, though I cannot tell you how. Jesus said in John 14, in the context of his departing from the earth, told his followers, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The chorus to Hoffman's song says, it is mine, it is mine. Blessed be his name. He has given peace, perfect peace to me. It is mine, it is mine. Blessed be his name. Mine for all eternity. We do not manufacture peace. But true peace starts and ends with God's Spirit dwelling within your life. It's not of human effort. It's not of human ingenuity. If you want to know what kind of peace that Jesus gives to us, he said, my peace I give to you. He specifically notes, it's not as the world gives. This peace doesn't come from alcohol. This peace doesn't come from drugs. This peace doesn't come from temporary pleasures. And let me add, this peace is not a lack of conflict in your life. Because a true biblical understanding of peace will recognize that that peace is available regardless of conflict. It's there because it comes from God. Nor is this peace an escape from reality. But Romans 5:1 tells us, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What a victory we have in Jesus today. We have a peace with God. And I'll preach that there's no greater peace. No feeling of being at ease or comforted or being calm and assured. Nothing like having peace with God. And we can have that through Jesus Christ. Christians don't need to look outside themselves for peace. It's within. God provides it through his Spirit. It's beyond our human ability. Sometimes we can't comprehend it. We don't always understand it. But hear me today. It fills your soul. And it sustains you through the changes and the challenges that come in life. Philippians 4:6, Paul said, be anxious for nothing. That's a tall order. But it's a goal that we have. We're commanded to strive for that. Be anxious for nothing. And here's a little formula to help you with that. In everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests, plural, be made known unto God. So that's what's going to help you to not be anxious about things if you'll let your requests be made known to God. And Paul went on to say, here's what happens. The peace of God, which passes understanding. You can't always figure it out. It's going to guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Let your requests be made known to God. And God will guard your mind, your heart, through Christ Jesus. I wonder today if you've got a request, or even several of them, on your heart. And you'd be willing to lift a hand today. We obviously don't have time to voice things. In fact, you probably have personal things you don't want everybody to know. But I just want us to take a moment to lift a hand if you've got a request. And what I'll ask you to do is, in waving that arm, whatever it represents, would you just offer with thanksgiving? Say it this way. God, you know what this hand represents. You know who I'm thinking of. You know what's going through my mind right now, the matter, the circumstance. I'm offering thanksgiving to you. And see if some peace doesn't start to fill your mind and heart. See if in coming days there's not something that you can't explain. Because you've made your requests known to God. You can voice them in private prayer later. But right now we're just symbolically saying, God, this hand that I've lifted represents needs. This represents things going on in my life or others. And I lift a hand to you and offer my request. Would you throw up that other hand now and just show some thanksgiving? Show some thanksgiving. This may seem like a simple exercise, but there's gravity to it. There's sincerity to it. There's something special that happens with what you're doing right now. Oh, our God knows how to work in just a moment. While you're sitting here, God's everywhere else, and he can put things into motion and bring about solutions and answers and changes through the power of God, all through your faith. Come on, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, Paul wrote. You got to allow it. You got to welcome it in. You've got to let that rule in your heart. And as he wrote in his last part of the second letter to Thessalonians, now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always. The Lord of peace give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with you. And in this spiritual kingdom, we have righteousness, we have peace, but we also have joy. It's part of our victory song. B.E. Warren converted to the Church of God in Anderson, Indiana in 1884. As a Christian songwriter, one of the songs, and he wrote this in 1900, is out of the pages of Scripture, and it's entitled Joy Unspeakable. I think you said page 33, right? Joy Unspeakable, and it expresses the joy found in salvation. See if this doesn't describe your salvation. I have found the pleasure I once craved. It is joy and peace within. What a wondrous blessing. I am saved from the awful gulf that separated me from God of sin. I have found the joy no tongue can tell, how its waves of glory roll. It is like a great overflowing well springing up within my soul. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable, and the half has never been told. Hear me today, the greatest joy that you'll know is Holy Ghost joy. It's different than natural joy. It's not drug-induced or alcohol-based or Hollywood-driven, but this is a product or an outgrowth of you having the Spirit of God in your life. It is. It's the joy. It results from that, and it's not positive mental attitude. It's not an altered state of consciousness that you might arrive at through meditation, but this joy comes from above. The Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, it brings with it joy. So when you get joy, you get joy when you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. There's joy. If you have had faith in Jesus Christ and his atoning work and repented of sin, the gift is given to you by God. I can't give it, others can't give it, but it's a gift of God. And let me just pause long enough to say, if you have faith in Jesus Christ and his atoning blood, if you've repented from sin and not yet received the gift of the Holy Ghost, you can have it. In fact, in John 7, Jesus was talking about the Spirit, and he made it very clear, they that believe on me should receive the Spirit. It's God's will. It's his intention, it's his expectation for you to receive the Spirit if you're a believer, if you've not yet done that. And I have to also mention this, if you've got faith in Jesus Christ and have repented and have not yet been baptized in water in the name of Jesus Christ, you should do that. It's God's plan for your life. It's God's plan for every believer. In fact, a lot of times, somebody will receive the Spirit before they ever get a chance to be baptized. That happened to me. Anybody else get the Holy Ghost first, but then you were baptized later? That's what happened in Acts chapter 10. Cornelius was listening to the word in his household. They had faith. They repented. God filled them with their Spirit right there while Peter was preaching. Filled them with the Spirit, and then later they were baptized. So it can go either way. But the point is, God has his gift for you. And when you get the Holy Ghost, it will bring joy. When God's Spirit enters your life and takes control, it will bring joy. Now, this is anecdotal, but maybe you've had the same experience. Have you ever noticed that when someone receives the Holy Ghost, he or she will speak with tongues, because that's the biblical evidence. We call it speaking in tongues or speaking in an unknown language. It's just God supernaturally speaking through us. It's the initial or first sign of us receiving the Spirit. It's God's plan. And I know some people get spooked out by that, but it's a joyous experience. It really is, when God gives you that gift. So you'll speak in tongues. But here's the thing I want to ask you. I've noticed, and maybe you have too, that when someone receives the Holy Ghost, I've never seen anybody frown. I've never seen anybody have a look on their face like, I've just lost my best friend, or I've just received the worst possible news about my health or a family member. I've never seen that. Maybe you have, but I've never seen that happen. What I have seen, a variety of responses, some smile, some leap up and down, some take off running, some laugh out loud, some have tears, but they're tears of joy. There are just all kinds of responses that go along with speaking in other tongues and receive. But I've yet to see anybody, you know, just have a sadness that is inexpressible. I'm so sad, I can't begin to tell you about it. I've never had anybody come to me after receiving the Spirit and talk about how sad they are, but instead they've come and said along the lines, this is joy. And it's unspeakable. I really can't explain it. I really can't define it for you. But I know this. God has filled me with the Holy Ghost, and my heart is filled with joy. Oh, there's nothing to describe having the joy of the Holy Ghost. There's nothing to describe it. Words just fail to express, don't they? What it's like to have a Spirit. I mean, we try. We talk about knowing that your sins are forgiven, and we talk about the relief from guilt and condemnation, and you explain how, you know, the Spirit of God, it's living inside of you now, and you say all those things, but try your best to tell it. Nobody can really understand like the believer until he or she has been filled with the Spirit. So I'll just say it this way. Once you get it, i.e. the Spirit, you will get it. i.e. the joy unspeakable, the indescribable feeling that comes with having it. Oh, it's more than natural enthusiasm today. I know Pentecostals get a little excited and emotional, but I'm telling you, this joy is more than natural excitement. It's not just good spirits or good times. It's Holy Ghost joy. It's unspeakable. It's inexpressible. You can't describe it. It goes beyond our vocabulary. It's our song of victory today. Oh, I'm glad for joy that wells up within our hearts. Again, like that peace, it's not manufactured, but it comes from the Holy Ghost living within our hearts. The joy of His Spirit. It's our song of victory. And no wonder we sing songs of victory. We sing them aloud, or we might sing them within, but we have righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And Paul wrote that we who are filled with the Spirit, i.e. have songs of victory, we will sing and make melody in our heart to the Lord. But I will add the words of Jesus, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So those songs that you're singing in your heart, that melody that you're given, I just have a feeling that sooner or later it is going to voice itself. Sooner or later you are going to express the songs of victory that you have in your heart. It's so understandable that we who have been filled with the Spirit rejoice out loud. We celebrate. We will shout aloud because we have a song of victory rolling over in our soul. We've got songs of victory, righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And I'm telling you, that song of victory, it works its way out every now and again to let people know, and most of all, God know, that we have victory in Jesus Christ. In closing today, B.E. Warren, the same guy, also penned a song entitled Victory. It says, hallelujah, what a thought. Jesus, full salvation brought. Victory, victory. Let the powers of sin assail. Heaven's grace can never fail. Victory, victory. I am trusting in the Lord. I am standing on His word. Victory, victory. I have peace and joy within, since my life is free from sin. Victory, victory. And the chorus says this, victory, yes. I can just imagine him doing that, can't you? Victory, yes, victory. Hallelujah, exclamation point. I am free. Jesus gives me victory. Glory, glory, exclamation point. Hallelujah, another exclamation point. He is all in all to me. Oh, I'm glad for victory that we have in Jesus Christ. And I know that a good number of you don't know that song, and so it doesn't have the nostalgic feeling. It doesn't have quite the impact upon you as those who know that song. But as my granddaughter would say, the point is the message of the song. It doesn't matter if you're singing a modern song or an old song. It doesn't matter if it is a slow song or a fast song. Doesn't matter if it's a song being played softly or loudly. Doesn't matter if it's in the key of G or the key of C. None of that matters. It's the message that's important. And what we're talking about today are songs of victory, righteousness and peace and joy that we have in the Holy Ghost. And whether you sing one note, I want you to know your praise is music to God's ears. Your worship is music to His ears today. I wonder, would you be willing just to let that song of victory out of your soul today? As we wrap up this service with just a time of celebration and thanksgiving, remember, nobody can praise Him like you can. Nobody can give your praise or your worship on your behalf. You've got to do it yourself. The Bible says, let's stand together on Palm Sunday, which we're celebrating, that there were people who grabbed palm branches, that's where we get the name, and they started shouting, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. There was individual praise being offered in the group. And Luke's gospel says the reason they were doing this was for all the mighty works that they had seen. The things Jesus had done, they were celebrating for those. And wouldn't you agree? I think all of us can agree on this one point. The greatest work of God is providing salvation for us. It's the whole point of His coming. It's the whole point of the Bible. It's the story of redemption. The greatest work that He could possibly do is save us from our sins. And so here's what the psalmist said, and see if this speaks the sentiments of your heart. The Lord is my strength. Anybody agree with that? The Lord is my song. Anybody agree with that? And He has become my salvation. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. Anybody agree with that today? Anybody willing to offer your personal song of victory? Would you be willing to praise and adore him? If you'd like to come around the front, we've got room for several. We're going to spend a little bit of time wrapping up this service to celebrate Jesus Christ in our life, the songs of victory that we have in him, knowing that he's the one that's changed us. He's the one that turned our lives around. He's the one that's redeemed us from sin. He's the one who has set us free. Let's celebrate together. Let's celebrate together.